Now then, welcome back to tonight's show. Before we kick off,
viewer discretion is advised.
Welcome, dear listeners, to another chilling episode of Rare Eddie One Talks. Tonight, we delve into one of America's most infamous hauntings, the Bell Witch. So dim those lights, grab your favorite blanket, and prepare to be spooked for this epic spooky tale. Now, yes, we are delving into the witch's Bell Witch. This story is absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Full of history, full of horror delights. Horror. I know I said horror twice. Some terrifying behavior, some witchy stuff. And on that note, a little ad from myself.
Advertising, wow.
Now there is a couple of free things you guys could do what would help your favorite small creators out. And no, I'm not saying I'm your favorite, but would help your favorite small creators out, me included. So if you are listening on whatever podcast provider you are listening to, hit that follow button, absolutely free to do so. And if you got a few minutes spare, leave me a review, 1 star, 5 star, whatever, how many stars you want to leave. It's a couple of minutes out of your day. If you would, that would be absolute bloody awesome. And I will read them out. If you don't want me to read them out, let me know and I won't. And the apps, and both are absolutely free to do so. And I wouldn't ask if they weren't free. Now, if you are watching these on YouTube or Rumble, thank you. Another few free things you could do on these two channels, on these two platforms, is hit that subscribe or follow button. Absolutely free to do. And while you're there, the like button or the dislike button is in the same location. So hit that like button, hopefully, or dislike button. Both engagements, and for small creators, massive. Massive engagements helps your fellow small creators out. Free to do so. I prefer a like, but I would understand if you get a dislike because I am full of dyslexia, baby. And another free thing, which is in the same area, if you're on the apps, is hit that share button and share with family and friends. If you think you've got a family member or a friend that might like this style of content, conspiracy, aliens, ghosts, hauntings, all that lovely stuff, send it their way. And I may get a like or a subscriber thanks to you. Thank you. And the most important one for especially small creators is get in them comments section. Get in that comments section, absolutely huge. Huge for small creators. It's huge for big creators as well. But for small creators, it's absolutely bloody huge. And I will always try and get back to you in a timely manner. In a timely manner, it might be an hour, it might be a day, it might be 20 minutes. I will try and get back to you in a timely manner. I really will. But they are all free to do and they will help all small creators out massively, absolute massively. My little spiel, my little ad out the way. Yes, this is Rare Eddie One Talks, where we talk all things conspiracy, aliens, UFO, hauntings, paranormal, ghostly shenanigans, cryptids, UFOs, conspiracies. I've repeated myself a couple of times now. We talk about all things strange, wonderful, and mysterious. And also, I'm creating something on YouTube. It's Rare Eddie One's Chills, Thrills, and Mysteries all under 5 minutes. So if you're interested in something short, get yourself over to YouTube and hit that subscribe button. Ah, my advert's out the way. But if you are new here, thank you and welcome. Thank you. I do a lot of conspiracies, a lot of, you know, all things paranormal, strange, wonderful, you know, UFOs, aliens. I do all that, cryptids. We have a little delve. I try and have a laugh. I try and engage with you guys a bit and hopefully have some fun, because that's what we're here for. We're here for that. And before we kick on with tonight's show, I do like to drink on these. It is a work night, so I am only having a one. But I saw this in Aldi, in the UK, Aldi. I know Aldi is there in America. But I am drinking a cider. This is a Aldi-owned cider. It is a Taurus. I saw it. I love you Yankee Doodles. I love the American. And when I saw it, I thought, I've got to try myself some of that. It's key lime pie flavored cider. Oh boy. Hopefully it's delicious. Now we're going to crack it open. Everyone knows the rules. It's free chugs. Sorry, I love myself some Dave Portnoy. And when he does, everyone knows the rules. One bite, everyone knows the rules. And he has like three bites. It's like, oh, I love it. One chug, everyone knows the rules. So let's crack this bad boy open. And I will give you my thoughts on this Taurus Aldi own key lime pie. Chilled to perfection. It does actually smell key lime pie. Oh, that's it's more of a tartar sharp end of the key lime pie. You got more of a key, and you got definitely more of the lime and the creaminess of a lime, but it's very tart, very tart. Yeah, it does smell like a key lime pie. It's very delicious. Oh, I could see myself getting used to that bastard. It's a 3.4. Oh, that is fucking delicious, folks. That is absolute delicious. Now, I imagine after two, it'd be quite sickly. But it doesn't feel sickly. It doesn't feel thick. It doesn't feel heavy. It feels quite light and fruity. I'm going to give that a fucking 8.4. That's how nice it is. 8.4. Key lime pie. Let's cut that game music and let's get on with tonight's show. So, yes, we are here. We are talking about the Bell Witch. So our story begins in the early 19th century in the quiet town of Adams, Tennessee. The Bell family, led by John Bell, lived a peaceful life on their farm until one fateful day in 1817. It started with strange noises, knocking on the walls, scratching sounds and whispers in the night. The Bell children reported hearing their bed covers pulled off and pillows thrown around the room by unseen forces, but this was just the beginning. The entity, which came to be known as the Bell Witch, soon made its presence known. It spoke in a clear voice, sang hymns, and even quoted scripture. But it wasn't just a harmless spirit. The witch had a particular vendetta against John Bell and his daughter, Betsy. John Bell was tormented relentlessly. He was slapped, pinched, and even poisoned. Ooh, what was the missus up to, John? Or so the witch claimed. Betsy, too, was not spared. She was pinched, slapped, and had her hair pulled by the malevolent spirit. The haunting drew significant public attention. Even General Andrew Jackson, who had later become president of the United States, visited the Bell Farm. Jackson's men experienced their own terrifying encounters, leading them to famously declare, "I would rather face the entire British Army than spend another night with the Bell Witch." Holy shit. The Bell Witch claimed to be the spirit of Kate Bates, a neighbour with whom John Bell had a dispute. But was this the truth or just another trick by the cunning spirit? The true identity of the Bell Witch remains a mystery to this day. John Bell's death in 1820 marked the climax of the haunting. The witch took credit for his demise, claiming she had poisoned him after his death. The activity decreased, but never completely ceased. The Bell Witch legend has inspired countless books, movies, and plays. The Bell Witch Cave, located near the original Bell Farm, is a popular tourist attraction where visitors hope to capture a glimpse of the supernatural. So, let us dig a little bit deeply into the Bell Witch. Let's have a quick, let's dig a little bit deeper into the Bell Witch. The origins and early activity. So the haunting began in 1817, where John Bell, a farmer, noticed strange animals on his property. Soon after, the family started hearing knocking sounds on the walls and doors, and the activity escalated to scratching and growling noises. The Bell children reported having their bed covers pulled off and pillows thrown around the room by unseen forces. Could this be children acting up? We'll get into my thoughts at the end. The escalations of the phenomena. The entity began to speak. Now, this is very eerie. Initially in whispers and then in a clear voice, it sang hymns. Now, knowing what I know about witches, do they often sing hymns? No? Quoted scripture as well, and even engaged in conversation with the family and the visitors. What the fuck? The witch seemed to have a particular vendetta against John, which we went over, and his daughter Betsy. Betsy was slap pinched and her hair was pulled by the entity. So, with all this going on, did they try not to let this get out to the townsfolk? I don't know, but the public and visitors alike wanted to visit the Bell Farm. The public got attention of this, and the haunting drew significant public interest, and many people visited the Bell Farm to witness the phenomena. One of the most famous was General Andrew Jackson, who became a president of the United States. Jackson's men, so which we've gone over. The witch's identity. The entity claimed itself to be Kate Batts, which claiming to be the spirit of neighbor with whom John Bell had a dispute. However, this claim has never been verified, and the true nature of the Bell Witch remains a mystery. Now, I wonder if the Bell Witch or this spirit was maybe wanting to play, or maybe wanting to get John into more trouble. But maybe this spirit is of a certain time, so never he didn't quite know what the word affair was. Maybe back when this spirit was alive, maybe dispute meant some type of an affair. Because that's weird. You would think, is this thing is haunting John Bell over a dispute? What is the dispute? Is it a crazy dispute, or is it a dispute over, he owes me two potatoes, or he fucking come in my head, a bastard? What kind of dispute is this? Or again, is it the spirit getting confused to new language? not knowing the word for cheating or affair or adultery. And instead of adultery, he put dispute. Said dispute. I don't know. Just me thinking out loud. The witch also claimed to have various other identities, including a spirit of Native American whose grave had been disturbed. That's probably the case. John Bell's death. The haunting continued for several years, with the witch's attacks on John Bell becoming more severe. In 1820, John Bell fell seriously ill. But he fell ill, and the witch took credit for his death, claiming she had poisoned him. After his death, the witch's activity decreased significantly, but did not cease entirely, so it continued. So what was the legacy of the witches, the Bell Witch? The Bell Witch legend has inspired numerous books, movies, and plays. The Bell Witch Cave, located near the original Bell Farm, is a popular tourist attraction where visitors hope to experience a supernatural, which we've gone over. The story remains one of the most well-documented and widely discussed hauntings in American history. So, what was the Bell Witch's characteristics and behaviors? The identity claims, the identity which we know is Kate Bates, who she claims to be a neighbor in a dispute over two potatoes or maybe some semen in hair. As obviously I'm joking, poorly jokes, I know, but if you want poorly written jokes, you come over to Rare Anyone and we'll sort you out for poorly written jokes. But the claims of her being Kate Bates and being in a dispute with John still was never substantiated, and the nature still remains a massive mystery. Was it really a neighbor? I think it's maybe a ghost trying to play a mean prank, trying to maybe break up the Bell's family. But the ghost itself had got confused, and instead of maybe him saying affair, it cocked up and put dispute. Because ghosts are human too. The witch also claimed to have various other identities, including a spirit of a Native American whose grave had been disturbed, and other supernatural beings. So the abilities of the witch exhibited a wide range of supernatural abilities. It could speak, it could sing, and it could quote scripture. It also demonstrated physical abilities such as moving objects, pinching, slapping, and pulling hair. The witch is also known to mimic the voice of family members. Shit. And visitors, adding to the eerie atmosphere in the Bell household. Holy motherfucker. Imitating voices of family and friends. That is fucked up, man. That is absolutely fucked up. That is fucked up. You see the movies where, you know, the mother's upstairs or the kids are upstairs, and the mother or the kids shout up to him, and they go downstairs and like, oh, there's no one here. And then the door opens and they all come running in. You're like, what the fuck? Yeah, that's, oh shit, I've thought about it now and it's probably going to happen to me. Shit. Interactions with the Bell family. The witch had a particular vendetta, which we've gone over. So the one with Betsy was also a primary target. experience physical harm and emotional distress. So could Betsy have maybe wandered in on John, her father and her neighbour? The witch's attack on Betsy were relentless, causing significant fear and anxiety. So, legacy and cultural impact. The Bell Witch has left a lasting legacy in American folklore. The story has inspired a lot of books, movies, plays, everything. And it's earned its place in paranormal history. The Bellwitch Cave, which is located near the farm, still remains a very, very popular tourist attraction. Visitors hoping to experience a pull, a pinch, a hair tug, a poisoned attack, you know, maybe a grope. Maybe you might get fingered. You might get yourself fingered by a witch. How many people can say that? How many people can say they've been fingered by the witch? How many? Probably a lot. But what do believers believe in the Bell Witch haunting? The supernatural entity. Many believers think that the Bell Witch was a malevolent spirit or poltergeist that haunted the Bell family. It's very interesting, though, this spirit, this witch, knew scripture, knew hymns, could have conversations as very imitated voices. That it doesn't sound like a good thing. It really doesn't. This sounds like a very, very... This sounds like demon. This sounds like demon. Singing in hymn, scriptures. Demons will know scriptures. Hymns. Imitating voices. Oh my shit. This. Could it be a witch and a demon infused? They point to the detailed accounts of physical attacks, strange noises, and conversations with the entity as evidence of the supernatural. Poltergeist or demon? Now, I think this is demon rather than poltergeist. Some believers that the Bell Witch was not just a witch in the traditional sense, but rather a poltergeist or demon. Now, I think this is a demon, 100%. This theory is supported by the violent and disruptive nature of the hauntings, which are characteristic of poltergeists and demons. Manifesting of collective unconscious. So could this be a manifestation of the collective, the family? Maybe the farm is on like a open methane pit and they're all having this same collective vision, this same collective thought. They're all hearing the same voices. Another perspective is that the Bell Witch was a manifestation of the Bell family's collective unconscious. The theory suggests that the hauntings was a product of the family's fears, anxiety, and possible repressed emotions, which somehow manifested in as a supernatural phenomena. So what do the skeptics say about the Bell Witch? Some skeptics think that the Bell Witch hauntings might have been a hoax perpetrated by members of the Bell family or others in the community. Theory posits that the events were fabricated for attention, financial gain, or other motives. Now, financial gain. I could buy financial gain and quite possibly attention, because it did get the attention of, no, he wasn't the president then, but the general would have been a very prominent figure. General Andrew Jackson would have been a prominent figure. So yeah, I could buy that this could have been for financial gain and attention. Historical and cultural impact, which we've gone over, the historical and cultural, it's been quite, I would say it's been quite a positive impact on the area itself, bringing in visitors all over the world to come and maybe witness the Bell Witch. So maybe the town had kept up the folklore to keep the public and their visitors interested. Who knows? Hoax or prank? Skeptics generally believe this might have been a hoax or a prank. Prank back then, maybe. Hoax, definitely. One of the most common skeptical viewpoints is that the Bell Witch Haunted was an elaborate hoax. Skeptics suggest that members of the Bell family or their acquaintances or could have planned the event to gain attention and monetary value. Misinterpretation or natural phenomenon. So other skeptics' perspective is that the events were misinterpretations or natural phenomena. I wonder where the farm is located. Could it somehow be on a mass gas deposit, methane deposit, sewage, and all these chemicals going into the house, the farm, all feeding into the family, and maybe the family had a bit of a spooky love, and maybe they were all talking about this witch story, and that was it. They all manifested this witch. Maybe John Bell was having an affair with his neighbour, and it just sort of escalated. I don't know. The lack of evidence and verifiable evidence is, skeptics do point to a lot. The lack of verifiable evidence to support the supernatural claims. They argue that the stories rely heavily on anecdotal accounts, that there is no concrete proof of the hauntings. So we're still not at the end, so I can't get into my thoughts just yet. But I am enjoying this key lime pie cider. So, can you protect yourself against a witch? So, protecting yourself from supernatural entities like the Bell Witch or other malevolent spirits can be approached from both a historical and modern perspective. So here are a few things you might want to try if you think you're haunted by a witch. If you think you live next door to a witch and you're like, oh, I want to protect myself, or some sort of supernatural entity. So the historical methods, protective symbols. In the past, people often carved protective symbols into the fabric of their homes. Symbols like the pentangle, the five pointed star, were believed to ward off evil spirits. And these symbols can still be found in some historical buildings. Amulets and talisman. Wearing or placing protective amulets or talisman around your home was a common practice in history. Items like horseshoes, which are thought to bring luck and ward off witches, were often hung above doorways. Very interesting. Herbs and plants. Certain herbs and plants were believed to have protective properties. For example, sage, rosemary, and garlic were commonly used to ward off evil spirits. Burning sage, known as smudging, is still a popular practice to cleanse a house or a place. So what are some modern methods? Spiritual cleansing, which we've gone over. Well, we're not gone over, but spiritual cleansing, performing a spiritual cleansing of your home, can help remove negative energies. This can be done through smudging, which I've just literally just said a minute ago. Sprinkle salt around the perimeter of the home. This first one doesn't sound quite modern. It sounds quite old as well. Crystals. Now, crystals, yeah. Many people use crystals for protection. Obsidian, amethyst, a belief to absorb negative energy and provide protection against malevolent forces. Shielding and techniques. Visualizing a protective shield around yourself or your home can be an effective way of warding off negative energies. This can be done through thought, meditation, and focusing on creating a barrier of light or energy. Create that light energy around yourselves, folks. Prayers and incarnations. Reciting prayers or protective incarnations can help invoke spiritual protection. Many cultures have specific prayers and chants designed to ward off evil spirits. Practical tips. Why not throw a couple of practical tips in there? Stay away, being mindful of your own surroundings and staying aware of any unusual activities can help you take action quickly if you suspect a supernatural presence. Seek help. If you feel overwhelmed, consider seeking help from a spiritual advisor, paranormal investigator, i.e. me, or a trusted friend who is knowledgeable about these matters. So we've gone through protecting yourselves against the witch. Now, what if, ask yourself this question, what if you want to summon a witch? So here we go. Summoning a witch or any supernatural entity is a topic that is fascinated people for centuries. However, it is important to approach this subject with caution and respect, for the beliefs and practices involved here are some general methods and considerations. Now, I'm not going to show you how to turn on that light. We are just going to have a look, see if it is possible. Because the internet will always provide you with answers, questions. Maybe you ask a answer and maybe 12 more questions pop up in your head. But anyway, rituals and incarnations. So here are some historical and cultural practices. Many cultures have specific rituals and incarnations designed to summon spirits or supernatural beings. These often involve chanting specific words, using symbols, objects, and performing certain actions in a precise order. Symbols and sigils. Drawing protective symbols or sigils is common practice in many magical traditions. These symbols are believed to help focus the summoner's intent and create a connection with the desired entity. Offerings. In some traditions, offerings such as food, drink, and other items are made to appease or attract the spirit. This is often done to show respect and to create a favorable environment for the summoning. Oh boy. Is there any modern practices I hear you asking? Yes. Yes, there is. These sound quite ancient as well. Meditation and visualization. Modern practitioners often use meditation and visualization techniques to connect with supernatural entities. This involves entering a relaxed state and visualizing the entity you wish to summon. Lucid dreaming. Protective measures. Before attempting summoning, it is crucial to take protective measures. This is probably what I should have led with. If you are wanting to do this, make sure you are protected. I highly recommend protecting yourself at all costs. At all costs. This can include creating a protective circle using crystals or invoking protective details of the spirits. Intent and respect. Always be respectful. Show your intent as well. The intent behind the summoning is important. Approaching the practice with respect and clear purpose is essential. Summoning entities for harmful or ferocious reasonings is generally discouraged because it will always bite you in the ass. You think you're summoning something to do your will, it will bite you in the ass. Warnings and consideration. Ethical concerns. Summoning spirits or entities can have ethical implications. It's important to consider the potential consequences and to act responsible. Safety. Engaging in summoning practices can be risky. It is advised to have a thoughtful understanding of the rituals and protective measures involved. Skepticism. Many people are skeptical about the effectiveness of summoning rituals. It's important to approach the subject with an open but also a healthy dose of skepticism. Always be respectful. I'll say this, I generally don't believe in the Ouija board. But fuck me, I won't go near that game. No way. No, the hell no, I will not go anywhere near that game. And if I was near it, I would be very, very respectful because I believe that is a door that you might not be able to shut. Or a door that we have forgotten how to shut. Because we don't need to play them games anymore. And I don't mean, I can't think, there's a better word I could have used, but play them games. Be very respectful. And I would strongly, strongly disagree or discourage anyone who wants to summon anything of a supernatural, definitely a witch. But I wanted to put it in there just because that's how I like to do these sort of things. So, my thoughts on the Bell Witch. It's a fascinating story. A fascinating story which has no doubt, left its mark on the town and America as a whole. Maybe the town doesn't want this folklore story to be disproved or proved. It's still getting money from visitors coming into the location to check out the farm, check out the cave. Maybe the family is still monetizing from this story. But because I know it's in the 18th, late 1700s, early 1800s. So the evidence is going to be lacking. Obviously, there's no picture, no video, no nothing. It's a fascinating story. Do I believe? No. I want to believe. Now, just because I don't believe in this doesn't mean I don't believe in witches. I think this was maybe a family wanting to gain some notoriety, some attraction. Maybe they wanted to gain some money, a little bit of, you know, a little bit of money, a little bit of fame, fortune goes a long way. And that's my thoughts on the end of the day. If you come to a different conclusion, let me know your thoughts. Please do. Let me know your thoughts. So, dear listeners, was the Bell Witch a malevolent spirit? A poltergeist? A made-up family story? Or something else entirely? Share your thoughts with me. Stay tuned for more spine-chilling stories. I've been your host, Rare Eddie One. This has been The Bell Witch. You know what to do. Stay rude, stay naughty, but more importantly, stay fucking filthy. Until next time, keep your lights on and your doors locked. I will see you next week. Peace.